Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to see you here. My name's James Burley. If we haven't met, I work at the Kingston Reformed Church, so I'm just here filling in preaching. It's a real privilege to be here and to be speaking on this psalm. Let me just pray, and then we'll get into it. Dear God and Father, we thank you so much that we have your very words opened up in front of us. We do ask, Lord, that you'd be generous in speaking directly into our hearts through your Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you'd give us ears to hear your word. And we pray, Lord, that as I speak, that only words that you've given me would come out this morning. We pray that in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. I'm not sure what you're like when it comes to minding your own business, but I am shocking. Let me give you a couple of examples where I've gone to pains to find out what's going on. I've been known many times to put my ear right up to a plaster wall to listen to the conversation going on the other side of the plaster wall. Last time I actually did that was about last week. I was listening to my dad talking to my uncle. It's pretty sad. I'm 23 year olds, but I still do that sort of thing. I've been known again on many occasions to go up to the curtain and open up the curtain just a little bit, just to have a peek out the window. I'm sure some of you have done this before, just to have a peek out the window, just to see what's going on, just to have a look up the road at the party that I wasn't invited to or something like that, and just to make sure everything's going okay. When I was younger, I remember getting hold of my sister's diary, which is very dangerous in my hands. I won't tell you what I found there, but that was very interesting. I'd go into my brother's room just because I could, and just because it wasn't my room, I thought I'd go in there and see what he had in his room as opposed to my room. I've opened up other people's mail, believe it or not. You thought you trusted me, but you now don't. I've read people's messages on their phones. I listen in to other people's conversations in public areas almost all the time when I'm by myself. And some of these things are actually quite naughty. You know, reading other people's mail that you get in the mail is pretty shocking. Reading other people's messages, that's pretty bad as well. I always delete my messages now, just in case someone does that to my phone. And reading my sister's diary is probably the worst thing you could possibly do. It's very naughty. And in some ways, preaching on a psalm, I feel a little bit naughty preaching on a psalm. I feel as if I've got hold of someone's diary here. I've just opened it up and I'm reading their deep, sort of personal thoughts that are recorded down. I feel like I'm just, you know, turning over the page and just having a quick look at what's on the next page. But the thing about the Psalms is that they're actually songs of praise. They're not just to be sung by the individual. They're not just here for the psalmist who wrote them, but they're songs to be sung corporately and together by us all. And you see, there's no shame in reading through the lyrics that we have here in front of us because they want you to join with them. They actually want us to join with them in singing this song to God. They want you to make this song your own. So what I want to do this morning is try and learn from the lyrics of this song. So please, if you've got your Bibles, keep them open there to Psalm 150, and hopefully we'll learn some things. And the first thing the songwriter jots down on his bit of paper is, praise the Lord. He starts and finishes it there. You can see there, verse 1 and verse 6, praise the Lord. And again, finishes with it, praise the Lord. Now, I don't know if you remember, but back in 2009, Triple J, the radio station, hosted what was voted to be the greatest 100 songs of all time. And I remember sitting in my lounge room listening to the last top 10 songs. And it was a pretty big occasion. There were thousands of people right around Australia having parties and listening into these songs. And I had a big stereo system, it really was. It had two subwoofers and it was cranked up pretty loudly. And it was great. And it was time for the third song, the song that was voted third, to come on. And you can just imagine everyone around Australia was sitting there just like, what's this song going to be? Let me read you the lyrics of what I think is an incredible song. You'll probably know it, and I'm not going to sing it. Well, I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift. The baffled king composing hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sure you all know that song. It's a very, very famous song. It's called Hallelujah. It's covered by Jeff Buckley. And to be honest, I got goosebumps all over me when I was sitting there listening to this song. It's quite a powerful song. But I wonder, out of the millions of people that would have actually heard this song before, how many of them would actually know what Hallelujah means? The song's called Hallelujah. He repeats it quite a few times in the song. How many people would actually know what Hallelujah means? It's a funny old word, isn't it? And if I'm honest, I didn't know what it meant. That was 2009 and I was working in ministry. I didn't know what Hallelujah means. And what Hallelujah means is praise the Lord, which we find in our song this morning. But even then, it's still a bit vague, isn't it? Marcus talked about it this morning, opening up. Praise the Lord. That's such a churchy word that we say all the time. What on earth does that mean, praise the Lord? You know, are we encouraging God or something like that? What I think praise the Lord means here, and I think it does mean different things throughout the Bible, but here in this song, it means to burst out in song to God. Praise the Lord is bursting out in song to God. The writer of this song, that's what he's doing. He's bursting out. He's expressing, you know, what's really on his heart, and he can't hold it in. He bursts it out. He has to praise God in song. It's like when you chuck a deodorant can on a fire. I'm sure many of you have done this before. But I'll just explain it to the women, because probably you haven't. What happens? You get the deodorant can, you chuck it on the fire, and everyone's like, oh, let's run. And, slowly the chemicals inside are bubbling up. They get heated up, and all of a sudden, bang, you know, the can just goes ballistic. And that's what's going on here with this song. That's what we have here in front of us. The psalmist is sort of bubbling up inside, and he just bursts out. And that's what we have here in Psalm 150. And that's what I want to learn. You know, what is it in this outburst of praise, if you like, that we can learn? And the first thing I think we can learn is lift your eyes toward heaven. Have a look at verse 1. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. So again, sanctuary, it's a bit of a weird sort of word, but I think here it's talking about heaven, you know, the place where God dwells. You know, praise God in that place, in his dwelling place, in heaven. And the songwriter re-emphasises what he's saying in the next line. Praise him in his mighty heavens. It's the same thing. But he's just ramming it home for us. But what's going on here? Well, some people think this is an invitation to angels, you know, who are with God in heaven to join in praising God. It could be. I don't think it is. What I think it's saying is the songwriter is getting this picture. He's here, you know, he's getting this picture of God in his heavens. He's lifting his eyes up to heaven and getting this picture of God. I don't know whether you've often had moments when you're just sort of taken back by some of, you know, nature. I had two of those over the holidays. The first one was Christmas night. I remember just sitting out on the deck. Everyone had gone to bed. It was only 8:30. But they'd eaten a lot, so I suppose that makes you tired. But I kicked on by myself, which was fun. But I remember sitting there on the deck and looking up at the clouds I was doing. And sometimes, you'll know for yourself, the cloud formations are just really astonishing sometimes. And on Christmas night, I don't know whether you noticed or not, but there was a bit of a pink tinge, and the way they were formed was just brilliant. And you just think, God's behind that. That's when you have those moments that really, really gets hold of you. Another one was Cradle Mountain. I've never been to Cradle Mountain. You always hear about Cradle Mountain from everyone else, and you see pictures of it, and you're like, yeah, I'm sure it's good. But I went there for the first time during the holidays, and being there and seeing that in the flesh was amazing again. You know, you got that weird sort of shaped mountain, and you think, well, God created that. That's awesome. And that's what the songwriter is doing here. He's looking up into the mighty heavens and he's shouting praises to God. But you see, the trouble is, I think for us, those moments are so few and far between, aren't they? We so often don't lift our eyes toward heaven, do we? You see, if you were to think back to 2010, how many times did you lift your eyes toward heaven and sort of, you know, bubble up like a deodorant can and sing a praise to God? How many times would have that happened for you in 2010? Maybe 10 times, maybe, if you're really good. Maybe 5, Maybe two? Maybe one? Maybe not at all. And I think one of the big reasons we don't lift our eyes toward heaven is because our eyes are far too fixed on what's around us. So we get caught up in our lives here and we forget to look up. We forget to look up and see God in his mighty heavens. And because of that, we get our priorities wrong and we lose focus and we stop praising God and we start praising the things that we're looking at around us. We start praising those stupid little things that are around us. Suddenly, you know, what I look like, what I dress like, what I drive, you know, where I live, where my kids go to school, they become the priority of my life, and I'm praising them almost. But when you lift your eyes toward God, who is in his mighty heavens, you know, for just 1 second, things start getting put back into perspective. You know, who cares about what I look like, what I dress like, what I drive, where I send my kids to school? You know, when I'm seeing God up there in his heavens. Trivial things when you do that. So if you give yourself a chance to lift your eyes toward heaven, it can actually be quite funny. You know, here we are, these little sort of specks of sand, and there's God, you know, above the clouds, who speaks and Cradle Mountain comes into being. And we get really fired up and upset when we get so flogged in the ashes. I do. Isn't that pathetic? You see how things can change if we don't lift our eyes toward heaven. We lose focus, we get our priorities wrong, and it's so easy for that to happen. But we need to constantly, I think, remind and encourage each other here to lift our eyes toward heaven, not to get stuck on the things that are around us. I think that's the first lesson from this song. Lift your eyes toward heaven. The second thing from this bursting out of praise is to see God's greatness and power, which is closely tied to the first one. When you lift your eyes toward heaven, see God's greatness and power. Have a look at verse 2. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Again, the songwriter is talking about the same thing, but re-emphasising it, God's greatness and his power. I was up at a camp over Christmas, and one of the speakers there was telling us about when Oprah Winfrey came to Australia. And this is actually quite funny. When she came to, I think it was in Sydney, there was loads and loads of crowds that came to see her because she's a very popular lady, obviously. And what happened, the speaker was telling us, was when she looked at certain women, there was probably a few blokes there, but mostly women there in the crowds, when she actually made eye contact with these women, they fainted. Can you believe that? You probably can. They fainted when Oprah looked at her. Now, I'm sure we have, you know, an equivalent of an Oprah crush in our lives. It's easy for us to get so much more excited about someone else's greatness and acts of power than we do about God, isn't it? And it's probably because we get bored of God's greatness and power. But again, if we take the time out to think about that and put it into perspective, then who is Oprah Winfrey next to God, if you think about that? Who is anyone next to God? You know, who else can say that they created the world? Who else can speak and Cradle Mountain, the world? Who else can make it, you know, thunder and have flashes of lightning that light up the entire sky? Who else can say that they love this world so much that they gave their son up to be rejected and crucified by this world? So we should praise God for that greatness and that act of power from him. You know, to think that God would send his son to a world that hates him so that you and me can know this God in a personal relationship. Who could possibly stand shoulder to shoulder with this God? No one can. And that's why the songwriter says toward the end of verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We sung it before. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that is everything. Everything that breathes. I take it we all breathe here this morning. We're to praise God with that breath. You know, imagine being amongst the crowds to see Oprah, and you were there, and she looked at you, and she was expecting you to sort of say, "I love you, Oprah," or something like that. But instead, you said, "Hey, Oprah, praise the Lord." Imagine doing that to Oprah; she'd get the shock of her life. But that's what we're called to do in this psalm. Everything that has breath, whether it's Oprah Winfrey or whether it's one of your family members or friends, they are to praise the Lord. This song of praise is to be sung not just by us, not just by, you know, your husband or wife or your family, not just by even by some of these Christian church, not even by just the Vision 100 churches in Tasmania, but everything and everyone in this world who has breath. They are to praise God with that. You see, no one or nothing can stand shoulder to shoulder with God. Therefore, he is to be praised, and him alone. Are you going to believe the lies that something else in this world is greater and more powerful than God? Because essentially that's what they are, lies, telling us that these other things in our lives are more important than God or more powerful than God. Where are you at with God? If you just take a step back, where were you at with God in 2010? How's your relationship with this God going? And what are you praising instead of God if you're not praising God in your life? What are those things, you know, around you? You know, there's such a vast, different sort of people here today. Everyone would have different things, I'm sure, that they're praising. What are those things, when you're not looking up, that are around you, that you're getting tangled up in and just have totally lost track in? What are those things in your life? So if you're praising anything else, God says stop it. You know, stop praising those things and turn to me. Turn to the Creator, your Creator, the Creator of this world. Turn to Jesus and ask him for forgiveness. Ask him for forgiveness for living a life that, you know, where you've been praising other things other than the Creator. And get to know this God personally. Tell you what, we hear that nearly every day, but again, when you think about that, you get to know this God personally. Each and every one of you can know him for yourself. The almighty, all-powerful God of the whole entire universe. You can know him. Have a look at what the songwriter goes on to say in verses 3 to 5. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. So the psalmist is lifting his eyes toward heaven. He's got that vision right. And he's seeing God's greatness and his power, and he wants to make some noise. That's pretty much what's going on. He wants to use instruments which make, obviously, a big noise to praise God. So I don't think the songwriter is saying, you know, you must have a trumpet, a harp, a lyre, tambourine, dancing, strings, flute and cymbals, you know, in order to be a church that has genuine praise. I don't think that's what he's saying. These instruments were very much part of the culture for them. And let's be honest, I'm sure some of us are glad they're not in mainstream culture today. But he's saying, use your voice, you know, turn up the amps and praise God. Because this is God we're talking about. Let me finish. The two lessons from this song are, lift your eyes toward God in heaven and see his greatness and power. I'm not sure what sort of year 2010 was like for you. For myself, I had a big wake-up call over the holidays. To not look around, but to look up and get priorities right. And for you, thinking ahead to 2011, what's it going to be like for you? Are you going to get, you know, bogged down in the stupid little things around us? Or are you going to look up and have God as the one that you're praising? I think that's what the psalmist wants us to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are in your mighty heavens. Thank you so much that your Bible reveals the truth, and we thank you so much that you've given us your Spirit to understand that truth. Lord, we want to pray for forgiveness. We do so often get caught up in the silly little things of this world. We lose focus. All of a sudden you become, in our eyes, equal with us. You're so often not our King or our Lord, even though we might sing it. We pray that you forgive us for that, Father. Thank you so much for your greatness and power in sending your Son to a dying world, to be rejected by this world, to be crucified, and to give us eternal life through believing in Jesus. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who isn't right with you and doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Saviour. I pray, Father, that you would be generous in opening up their hearts and pouring in your Spirit, and that the truths of your word would overcome them. And that all of us, Father, would be able to write our own version of singing a song to you. We pray this in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen.